It says, "This do in remembrance of me." We invite you to come to the table today. If you've met the Lord in forgiveness of sins, we invite you to join us as we partake of the Lord's Supper. If you can identify with his death on the cross and you have invited him into your life and you've received forgiveness of sins, you're a born-again believer, we invite you to come to the table and join us today. If you're here today and you're searching, I pray you would listen very carefully, because this table speaks volumes, by the way. Because, see, this table tells us that there is forgiveness. You and I can have forgiveness because of the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through the blood, even the blood of Jesus." You and I can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, folks. And that's the redemption price. It cost Jesus his very life's blood. This table also tells us that there's access into the very presence of God. When Jesus died at Calvary, whenever he gave up the ghost, the veil between the Holy of Holies and the holy place was rent from top to bottom, meaning not just the high priest, but every one of us can come boldly to the throne of grace. That's the reason the writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help in our time of need." The Puritan Thomas Watson rightly said, when he observed redemption was God's greatest work, "Great was the work of creation, but greater the work of redemption. It cost more to redeem us than it did to make us. In one there was the speaking of the word, and in the other there was the shedding of the blood." I don't know about you, I'm thankful for the blood today. This blood that we talk about is the blood of Jesus that was shed over 2,000 years ago, but yet it has power to forgive sins today. You say, "Oh, you don't know where I've been, Brother Jerry. You don't know where I've gone. You don't know what I've gone through." I don't need to know. God knows. And see, when he died at Calvary, he died for you. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. Because he knew that you needed a Savior. He knew that you needed to be redeemed. And the price of redemption was the very blood of Jesus himself. If you have a copy of the scripture, I'd ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians this morning, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to tell you this morning, we must remember. May we never forget what Jesus did. May we thank him for it every day we live. Throughout the Bible, God's people are reminded to remember. The Passover was a time to remember when the death angel passed over the houses that were covered by the blood in Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. The laying up of manna in Exodus 16 was a testimony to the provision of God when he provided for them in the wilderness, and that was a time that they remembered what God did. The blue ribbons that they wore in the fringe of their garments in Numbers 15 was to remind them of the commandments of the Lord, and not only to remind them of the commandments of the Lord, but to do them. We're to be holy before God because he had delivered them out of Egypt. And by the way, God delivered you and I out of Egypt too, because Egypt represents our life that was lost, the life that was without Christ, that life that was in bondage. But praise God, we don't have to stay in Egypt. He will deliver us over into the promised land because of what Jesus did at Calvary. The 12 stones from Jordan. As they passed over the Jordan, they were to take these 12 stones and build a memorial. And every time their children looked at these stones, it would remind them of what God had done. He had brought them over the Jordan. And in the Lord's Supper was set aside for a time of remembrance. Our Lord gathered with his disciples. They thought they were going to be gathering for the Passover. But the Lord was going to institute a new covenant with them. He was going to show them a new and better way, and that new and better way was through the cross. And he was going to show them they didn't need to focus on the Passover anymore. They need to focus on Jesus. Because, see, he wanted them to understand what he had done for them. And he reminds them of what he had done, just like we're reminded on all these other occasions. We ought to be reminded of what God has done for us. The Lord has given us two ordinances. One of those ordinances is baptism, and the other is the Lord's Supper. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. We believe and teach that neither have saving power. They're symbolic of what Jesus has done for us. When someone is baptized, they're demonstrating to us the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because when you lower someone in the water, it represents that Christ died and was buried. When you raise them up out of the water, it shows that he has resurrected. And they have buried the old person, raised the new person to walk in newness of life. We do not believe or teach that baptism will save you. But it is the first act of obedience. Every time you read the book of Acts, someone gets saved, they were baptized. Why? Because they were being obedient to the command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper also is symbolic of what Jesus did for us. We're remembering as we take this cup with juice in it today, it reminds us of the blood that was shed for us at Calvary. When you take the little piece of bread, it reminds you of the body that was broken for us. They do not have saving power. You cannot partake of this Lord's Supper and say, now I'm saved. Because he will not save you. You're only saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus reminds us of this. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, like many other problems in Corinth, they were having problems with the Lord's Supper. They were turning it into a drunken feast. And they were not sharing that which God had brought them to do. And he admonishes them concerning that. And then beginning in verse 23, go with me there if you would. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. For I received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and discerneth and not does not discern the Lord's body. He said, this reason there's many sick among you. So as we look at the words of the Apostle Paul, he said, I received this word from the Lord. First of all, we see a word of explanation. A word of explanation. Was that an explanation? He says, I want to tell you that which I received of the Lord, which was delivered unto you. What was he trying to explain to them? He was trying to understand, help them understand, this isn't something I came up with. This isn't something the church came up with. This is what the Lord did there in that upper room. And you can follow the message of the Lord in the upper room beginning in John 13, where what does he do? First of all, he washes the feet of the disciples and teaches them about servanthood. He reminds them in John 14 that he's going to go to the Father and he's going to pray to the Father that he would send another comforter. And that other comforter was going to be the Holy Spirit, who was going to come and teach them all truth and to lead them into all truth. But he says, this do in remembrance of me. That's what says in front of that table right there, folks. What are we to remember? We're to remember his body that was broken for us. In a few moments, I'm going to do something I've never done before. But while you're taking the Lord's Supper, I'm going to read to you, and I hope you'll follow with me, the text in Matthew that tells you what our Lord's body went through. Because I think if we fully understood that, it would change the way we live. If we fully understood what Jesus did for us at Calvary, all of us would be totally transformed by the power of God. And we wouldn't be half-hearted believers. We wouldn't be half-hearted attenders. We wouldn't be half-hearted servers. We would give God our very best, because I want you to know he gave his very best, his only son, and Jesus gave his very best. And I'm going to tell you, they did not take his life. He gave it freely. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died there alone for you and me. We're to do it in remembrance of him. Remember the blood that was shed for us. It's a word of explanation. He says, that which was given to me by the Lord. And then he says, you're to take the bread, and we're going to do it in a minute. We're going to break it and give thanks. And he says, take heed, this is my body which is broken for you. Verse 24. Then he says, take, eat, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, by the way, I want to make it very clear here. The Bible never tells us how often to take the Lord's Supper. Some people do it every Sunday, and what happens, it becomes a rote going through the motions of doing it. And folks, if we did every Sunday, it'd be commonplace. Our church does it every 2 months. Those 2 months, we wrap the service around it, as you've heard today. All the songs that Brother Jake has so wonderfully led us in today to remind us of the cross. And your pastor exhorts you in this area. But see, this word of explanation helps us to look backward. Look backward to what Jesus did at Calvary. May we never forget it. Not only do we have a word of explanation, may we have also a word of exaltation. Look with me at verse 24. And when he had given thanks, you see that? He gave thanks, folks. The cross is a time that we exalt the Savior. He gave his very life. The cross, may I tell you this morning, is not an accident. It's not plan B. Jesus willingly, voluntarily laid down his life for you and I that we could have life eternal. That's why we call it the Eucharist, the Greek expression of giving thanks. May I tell you today, we ought to give thanks. Every one of us ought to be on our knees today, thanking God for what he did for us at Calvary. But that causes us to have a look upward. Not only do we have a look backward, remember what he did at Calvary, but we look upward to exaltation as we exalt him and give him thanks for what he has done for us. But also, thirdly, it's a word of expectation. Because notice what he says in our text. Verse 26. For as often as you drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. That word show means to demonstrate. You do show. May I tell you something? When we get to heaven, we're not going to need to take the Lord's Supper anymore. You say, why is that, Brother Jerry? Well, we're going to have the Savior. We're going to be around his table in heaven. And we're going to get to see him face to face. That's the reason the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. And it not appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then he says this, and everyone that hath this hope purifieth himself even as he is pure. If you have that hope, you have something to live for, amen? It's a word of explanation, looking backward, a word of exaltation, looking upward, a word of expectation, looking forward. Can I tell you something? Whenever the disciples of that day met each other, they didn't meet each other saying, boy, I've had a terrible week this week. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, they met each other and said, Maranatha, brother. Maranatha, sister. And what does that mean? The Lord comes. We need to be ready for the Lord to come, folks. Because he could come tonight. And if you're not ready, you must be ready. We must make sure that every one of our family members have heard the gospel. Every one of our friends have heard the gospel. Every one of our neighbors have heard the gospel. It's a time of expectation. As we say, glory to God. This do in remembrance of me. But last, it's a time of examination. Verse 20. 8 says this, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. As we look today into our hearts, I pray. By the way, you and I can look into our hearts, but God's already looked there. You see, he knows the truth about our hearts. Oh, we might fool our husband or wife. We might fool church members, but you can't fool God, because he knows what's in your heart today. He knows whether you love Jesus, whether you're here out of love today or out of obligation. He knows what you're going through, and have you turned it over to him? I want our deacons to come now as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Keep your Bible ready, because today I will be reading from the scripture during the time of passing out. I don't usually do that, but God laid on my heart this morning to do it. Let's bow before the Lord. Would you and I say, like the psalmist in Psalm 139, verses 23, 24, search me, O God, and know me, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We are asking God to search our hearts. As he searches your heart today, would you just hear what he has to say? Not what you have to say, but what does he have to say about your heart? Is it right with God? Is it right with others? Father, I pray today that the meditation of our heart and the words of our mouth would be acceptable unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Jan, if you have a copy of the scripture, I'm going to start reading in Matthew 27, beginning in verse 22. And Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Lord, let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Lord, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but whether there be a tumult would be made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then they released Barabbas unto them. And when they had scourged Jesus, he was delivered to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered him and the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him of his clothes. And they put on a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed their knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of Jews. And they spat upon him. And they took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, and they took the robe from him, they put him on his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified him. And as they came, they found a man, Cyrene, Simon by name, him to be compelled to bear the cross, as Jesus could not bear it anymore. And when they were come to the place called Golgotha, which is to say the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar and drink mingled with gall. And when they had tasted thereof, he would not drink, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that they might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting there, they watched him there. And they set over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Bread that you hold in your hand represents the body. Oh, that was the body that they scourged. I know that seems like such a insignificant word when you read in the scripture, but the scourging post was where they put a man's hands over his head, one Roman soldier being on one side, the other on the other side, with a whip made of sharpened pieces of lead and sharpened pieces of bone, and they would give them the stripes. Literally, many a man would not come off the scourging post alive because they would become disemboweled. They spat upon Jesus. They beat him with rods. Crucifixion, which had been brought about by the Persians and perfected by the Romans, to bring about the greatest amount of pain before death. Our Savior hung between heaven and the earth. And this, they put nails in his hands, and they put nails in his feet. To catch a breath, he had to bring himself up on those nails to take a breath and then come back down. Why did he do it? Because he loves us. He loves you, dear heart. You don't hear anything else I say today. I want you to know Jesus loves you. And he was willing to give his very life for you. On that night, they took the bread and he broke it and they blessed it. But Terry, would you come up to the pulpit here and pray for us, please?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you to thank you for the opportunity we have to remember the Lord's Supper. We just pray that we don't take it lightly, that we remember the sacrifice that you made. Your body was broken, the scourging, the beating that you went through, the sacrifice you made on our behalf so that we could be saved. We know that you were the perfect sacrifice. So yours is the only sacrifice that could satisfy the requirement. And Lord, we just we pray that if there's somebody here that they will know the sacrifice that you made, and that you did it for our salvation. Lord, we just we pray that not only today, but each and every day, we remember the sacrifice you made. Just so that we could be saved, the love that you showed us for our salvation. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That night he took the bread and they blessed it. He broke it, signifying the breaking of his body. Said, take heed, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You have a copy of the scripture. I ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews this morning as we think about the blood. I'm going to begin reading in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 11. But Christ, being come as a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and of ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, church, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And then over in chapter 9, over a little farther, if you please, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It is therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these things. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. and yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 28, so Christ was offered, once offered, to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Cup you hold in your hand has grape juice. This juice has no saving power, but is there to remind us that this cup represents the blood that was shed for us at Calvary. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people. When he went into that Holy of Holies, they would put bells on the bottom of his robe with pomegranates. And as long as they heard the rattling of those pomegranates and the bells, they still knew he was alive, because to go into the Holy of Holies with sin, he would have died on the spot. He would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. You remember the Ark of the Covenant that had Aaron's rod that budded, that had the golden manna reminding them of the provision of God, and Aaron's rod that budded reminded them of the power of God, and the Ten Commandments reminding them of the direction of God that he had for them. But I've got good news this morning. Jesus didn't have to do that ever again. He went once, dear church, once, into the holy place to make atonement for our sins. Because his blood, may I tell you this morning, his blood is powerful. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other lamb I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It was powerful blood, but may I tell you, it was perfect blood. See, God demanded a perfect sacrifice. All lambs and goats work for a while, but the most perfect sacrifice of all was Jesus' own blood. Because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he was made sin to be no sin. He was made sin to be for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. His blood was perfect. It was powerful. It was precious. And that's what I remind us of today. Listen, your salvation didn't come cheap. It cost Jesus his very life's blood. On that night, he took the cup, and after he'd given thanks, John, would you go and give thanks for the cup, please?
Father, we thank you for the shedding of your blood. For we know without the shedding of your blood, there would be none to cover our sins, and we would be still lost in mankind. We thank you for this sacrifice and pray that we never forget it. We love you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
He took the cup and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, drink. This is the cup of the New Testament of my blood. This do in remembrance of me." Brother Jake's going to lead us now as we praise God together.
Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the
Not enough for us to know these things. See, not only does this table speak to us of forgiveness, power, of love, of grace, of access into the very Holy of Holies, but also we must respond to the table. For the one that's here without Christ today, may I tell you that you're without hope without him? But he died on Calvary for you, dear heart. He loves you today. He knows your name. And he knows what you're going through. And the greatest thing you could ever do is come down, take a pastor by the hand today and say, "Pastor, I need Jesus. I need to be born again. I need him into my life. Because apart from him, we're nothing." But I invite you to come, give your life to Christ today. Others here, you're looking for a church home. We invite you to come, be a part of a church family. When the Lord comes again, he wants you to be faithful to a local body of believers. The Bible says that Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. And if he loved the church and gave himself for it, so must we. I invite you to come be a part of our fellowship. But maybe today you're going through a struggle in your life. Maybe today you're wondering, can I make it through another week, another month? And I want to tell you, our only hope is Jesus. And I invite you to come to this altar and meet him here today. Lay your burden at the altar and let God take them. Father, I thank you for the opportunity we have of being here today.